raise up the deeps and storehouses. The power that God possesses is beyond our ability to even comprehend. You know, there's been a big move in the world of physics to try to figure out what are the limits of the universe that exists. And all they've been able to do is send devices into space that just go, and they go, and they go, and they go, and they take pictures, and these pictures continue to show that the universe exists far beyond what man ever thought possible. And there's not really any explanation for how that has come to pass, whether it was created once or whether it is continuing to be created. It's a question that physics will never be able to answer. But the reality of it is this. All that exists in this universe, God simply said, let it be. Let it be. I saw this thing the other day, and I think I can quote this accurately. The speed of light is a measure of distance. It's not a measure of time. And if you were to travel at the speed of light, that distance, it would take you 2 billion years to go beyond the galaxy of the Milky Way that we live in. 2 billion years at the speed of light to leave the Milky Way. And God simply said, let it be. The power of God is infinite. It has no limit. God is able to do all that He desires to do. When God plans something, it will come to be. His purposes will never be thwarted. If God purposes something, it's going to happen. Nothing could ever prevent that. We can give thanks because our infinitely powerful God is always working on our behalf. Did you know that? God is always working on your behalf. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life that I don't really want God working on. I mean, I'd really prefer it to be something different than it is. And we come back to the truth. We come back to the Word. God is continuing to work out His plans and His purposes in us to make us more like Christ. And what we can confidently say is that no matter what it is that we're going through, I believe that He will work all things out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. God is always working on our behalf. Number four, God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. God's knowledge is infinite. We're going to read you something here in a second. And it's mind-boggling. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Throughout our history, there have been some brilliant individuals that have had insight into some of these attributes that help us begin to grapple with what infinity actually feels like when we try to comprehend this. I'm going to read you something from A.W. Tozer, and already you ought to go, uh-oh, this is going to be deep. And let me tell you, it's beyond deep. Here's what A.W. Tozer says. God perfectly knows Himself, and being the source and author of all things, it follows He knows all that can be known. Okay, I get that. And this He knows instantly and with the fullness of perfection that includes every possible item of knowledge concerning everything that exists or could have existed anywhere in the universe at any time in the past or that may exist in the centuries or ages yet unborn. God knows it all. Instantly. Everything that can be known, God knows, and He knows it in an instant. Anything that can be discovered, God already knows. This is what it means when we say that God is omniscient. His knowledge is infinite. We can give thanks because our all-knowing God knows everything about us and everything about every day that we live. Nothing happens to us that God did not already know. Nothing can happen to us that God did not already know would happen. And God is going to work these things for our good so that we can love Him and give glory to Him. Number five, the last of the omnis, God is omnipresent. He is always everywhere, all the time, with everyone. One of the greatest psalms recorded, Psalm 139, 7 through 12, and I really should read the entire psalm, but I'm not. The psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or the depths of the death, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will surely lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you." The fullness of His presence is with us, all around us, all the time, on a level wholly different from those available to our five senses. God is with us, although we can't see Him, we can't hear Him, we can't smell Him, we can't touch Him, we can't feel Him, but He is there. All the time, everywhere. We can give thanks because our always present God is always with us. You know what that means? We are never, ever alone. We are never alone. Number six, God is faithful. He is infinitely, unchangingly true. Because the attributes of God are intertwined together, and you don't pull them apart and separate them from the other attributes, it means that God's faithfulness is intertwined with the reality that God never ever changes. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." God is faithful all the time because God never changes. The fact that God is infinitely, unchangingly faithful means that He never forgets anything. He never fails to do anything He has set out to do. He never changes His mind, and He never takes back a promise that He has made. God is true. His word of promise is sure. In all His relations with His people, God is faithful. He may be safely relied upon because He is faithful and He never changes. We can give thanks because our God is always, always faithful to us, His children. Number seven, God is good. He is infinitely, unchangingly kind and full of goodwill. 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." I believe that this is something that our culture especially struggles with. The reality that God is infinitely, unchangingly kind and full of goodwill. we have convinced ourselves that we are deserving of the goodness of God, or that we are entitled to the goodness of God, because we have elevated mankind to such a degree that God is little more than a second thought, something that we need only in a time of emergency. But the reality of it is this, is that God is good all the time, and we are not deserving of the goodness of God. The Psalms are filled with verses that declare the goodness of God, and probably most famous is Psalm 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Now, what we often forget when we hear that verse quoted is that the psalmist wrote this in a time of intense personal suffering. His enemies were around him. Death was imminent. He did not know if he was going to make it another day, and yet he could say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." The goodness of God means that He is kind, He is cordial, He is benevolent, and He is full of goodwill toward men. He is tender-hearted and merciful, and by His nature, He is inclined to bless mankind. Now, there is this reality in our world today, and I know I talked about it when we went through Genesis, but there is a very common grace that is dispensed by God upon all of humanity, where they in some way can enjoy His blessing. There are many, many, many wicked and godly people who enjoy the blessing of a loving family. They enjoy the blessing of never knowing hunger. They enjoy the blessing of the luxuries in life. But there is another grace that is unique to the children of God, those who know the saving grace of God, those who are more deeply aware of the kindness that is woven into the very nature of God, because we of all people recognize that we don't get from God what we deserve. We get from God out of His goodness, out of His nature, to bless mankind, whether godly or ungodly. Even though we are filled with sin, the reality that necessitates our salvation, and we are washed and cleansed and made to be new creatures, but even after that salvation experience, we are still filled with sin because we choose to disobey and to disregard God's Word. Even though we are filled with sin, we can always give thanks to God because of His infinite goodness towards us. Number 8, God is merciful. He is infinitely, unchangeably compassionate and kind. Because mercy is woven with the immutability of God, God is always merciful. He cannot not be merciful. That's just the nature, the essence of who God is. Paul would write in the book of Romans, "For He," God said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. The mercy of God isn't dependent upon who we are. It doesn't depend upon our running away from God. The mercy of God is simply dependent upon the very nature, the essence of who God is. God is infinitely merciful. He is inexhaustibly, actively compassionate. Think about this. You love your children more than you love any other being in this world, right? But how long does it take for your mercy to get exhausted? How long does that compassion, how long does that goodness, how long does that last? You can wake up and say, "Man, I'm so blessed to have these kids." And before breakfast is over, you're saying, "What did I do to deserve these kids? What is the problem? I just don't understand it." God is inexhaustibly filled with mercy. His mercy is undeserved by us. You see, without the mercy of God, there is no hope of heaven. What do I mean, no hope? zero hope, nothing. There isn't a single thing man could ever do to secure his salvation that isn't directly connected back to the mercy of God and allowing us to have the faith to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because of our disobedient hearts, we deserve death. Paul writes in the book of Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death." But because of mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Instead, because of the mercy of God, we get life through faith in Christ. You see that? Because of God's mercy, we don't get what we deserve, but because of God's mercy, we get what we don't deserve. Not damnation, but eternal life through our faith in Christ. We can give thanks because our God is infinitely merciful, not giving us what we deserve. And very intently woven into this is number 9, God is gracious. God is infinitely gracious, inclined to spare the guilty. The psalmist writes in 145, verses 8 and 9, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works." If mercy is not getting what we deserve, which is damnation, then grace is getting what we don't deserve, which is eternal life. Mercy and grace are two sides of the same coin, which is really a multifaceted coin, which possesses all of the words that we would use to attempt to describe the attributes of God. Because grace is a part of who God is and not just an action that He bestows by being gracious, it means that we can trust that God's graciousness is eternal and unchanging just as God is. His grace is something that we do not earn, and it is something that we cannot lose. The infinite grace of God means that God is willing and able to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all our sin, and making us competent to stand before Him where we will be clothed in the very righteousness of Christ. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us." We can give thanks because our God is infinitely gracious, always faithful to forgive us of our sin. Number 10, God is loving. God is infinitely, unchangingly loving us. And I got to tell you, it's a pretty good thing that the attributes of God are infinite. Because I don't believe that there is a single individual that has ever, in human understanding, outrun the love, the grace, the mercy of God. Don't we think that way? That person is unsavable. That person can never turn to God. That person is beyond the long arm of the Lord. Don't we think that about people? But the reality is that isn't true. I can promise you this, if you looked at my life when I was 15, 16 years old, you would have said, that kid's got no chance. I could share things about my life that you just could not even begin to imagine are true. But they are. God is infinitely loving, and He unchangeably loves us. Paul prays this prayer in the book of Ephesians, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You know what that means? That you and I could use every word, every action, every example that we could ever conjure up from the mind, from the heart, from the voice of every person that ever lived, and it would still not fully describe the love of God. The love of God surpasses our knowledge. It is an infinite love far beyond our ability to understand, or to experience this side of heaven. I believe that when we meet our Savior as a child of God, saved and set free, we will be so overwhelmed with the fullness of the attributes of God that we will be speechless. There's not going to be a thing we're going to be able to say. We will just be overwhelmed. Paul goes on to declare in Romans 8, 38 and 39 about this infinite love. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me do this. I want you to think about the infinitely powerful God. The one who with just a word created the vast universe that we live in. This powerful God holds your eternity in His loving, gracious, mercifully unchanging hands and says, you know what, there's not a single thing that could ever separate you from the love that exists within the safety of my hands. That's where we live. That's the hope that we have. That's the certainty of an eternity with Him as a child of God who has been set free through the grace of Christ by faith of what He did for us on the cross. Listen to this. God's love is active. It is always drawing us to Himself. His love is personal. God doesn't love humanity in some vague sense. He loves humans. He loves you and He loves me with an infinite, unchanging love. We can give thanks because our God loves us with an infinite, unchanging love. A love that knows no bounds and has no limits. Number 11, God is holy. God is infinitely and unchangingly perfect. I don't believe that perfect exists in this world. I really don't. I don't think we could come to a consensus about what perfect is. We could walk outside on a clear blue sky, 72 degrees, and some would say, well, it's too cool. I like it 74. And some would say, I like it 70. It's a little bit too hot. And some would say, well, you know, it's good temperature, but it's too humid. No, it's too dry. There's no breeze. There's too much breeze. There's no clouds to give me any break from the sun. It's not blue enough. We could go on and on and on, and we could never come to a consensus about what perfection is, but God is holy. He is infinitely and unchangingly perfect. There's a scene in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, where John is around the throne of God, where the angelic beings are worshiping Him, and here's what it says, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty who was and who is to come. Unceasingly, without pause, they sing and declare the holiness of God. That word holy means sacred, set apart, revered, divine, and yet none of those words is adequate to describe the awesome holiness that is God. John MacArthur writes this about the holiness of God. I quote, "Of all the attributes of God, holiness is the one that most uniquely describes Him and reality is a summation of all His other attributes. The word holiness refers to His separateness, His otherness, the fact that He is unlike any other being. It indicates His complete and infinite perfection. Holiness is the attribute of God that binds all the others together. And as eloquent as that is, we still don't have a clue what the holiness of God really looks like. We can only speculate. We can only throw words at it. But it's far greater than our minds can even begin to comprehend. We can give thanks because our God is an infinitely holy God filled with love and grace and mercy. Lastly, number 12, God is glorious. He is infinitely beautiful and great. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's many perfections. Every attribute that God has is perfect. Everything about God in every way is perfect. Anything that we could ever think or say about God that is consistent with His Word is infinitely beautiful and perfect. When we talk about the glory of God, like His holiness, it's impossible for us to even begin to understand what that really means in its fullness. His glory is so great that no one can look upon it. His glory is so complete that no one can fully explain or understand it. The glory of God is often described as a brilliant light. It's greater than anything that we can experience on earth. And yet the only thing that we can use that gives us any kind of a picture image of what the glory of God looks like is the sun. But the sun is only like the glory of God. The sun isn't equal to the glory of God. But the glory of God is often described as a brilliant light, brighter than anything we can experience on earth. In Habakkuk 3 verse 4, he says His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from His hand, and there is the hiding of His power. So think about it like this. If you were to go out and look at the sun and you see it in its brilliance, well, one, you can't look at it for very long, even with really good sunglasses, because it'll just burn your retina. And even with the proper help in looking at the sun, you only get a similarity of what God's glory is like. And with the brightness and the power that emanates from that star that is our sun, it is yet hiding the power of God. I did this before in Genesis. We looked at the sun. We looked at, I think it's Antares. And then we looked at Betelgeuse, examples of sun. And as brilliant as the sun is, it is dwarfed by some of the other stars in our universe. So much so that what we would say about the sun is exponentially greater about these huge stars that we can't observe with the naked eye, and yet even that would never fully display the glory of God. We can give thanks because our God is infinitely glorious, greater than anything our minds could possibly even hope to understand. And yet one day, we will see God as He really is. There will not be the need for any protection for our eyes. We will very simply bask in the brilliance of His glory. For eternity, which is time without end, and that privilege is all woven into these attributes that we use in an attempt to describe God. Because God is infinite in His grace, in His mercy, in His love. And you and I today, who understand even a little bit about any of these attributes about a great and almighty God, have every reason to give thanks to Him. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances in your life are. I know they're real. I know they're serious. I know they bring a tremendous amount of fear. There's uncertainty about what's going to take place the remainder of this day, let alone tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. But no matter what it is that gets filled into the unknown space in our lives, It never, ever diminishes the reality of who He is, and it never, never diminishes the praiseworthiness of our God. We must give thanks because of who He is and because of what it is He does. Would you pray with me, please?